We've got a devotional that we asked for, begged for, because we want devotions that go deeper, where people are curious about God's word and that they actually know enough to give us some information that we don't know. So we've got Dr. Chuck Day, who takes a deeper look and then either to scripture or to a word in the Bible, which is why he's with us in studio today. Hello, Chuck. How are you doing?
It's my pleasure to be here.
Associate Pastor at Leeuwenhoek. So let's introduce the guy at home, the one without the title and no biography and no makeup. Now that guy at home. Who's Chuck there?
Okay, well, I am obviously from America. I came here in 1991, which is donkey's years ago.
Why?
And, well, I came to make a difference. I actually came to try to help South Africa change when I arrived. The headline when I arrived was from F.W. de Klerk's speech in Parliament, "Apartheid is dead." And it's all finished.
Okay.
only to find that there's still a lot needing to happen. So I got involved with a Bible college by Soshin Guve, and that led into us pastoring a church in Soshin Guve. I met my wife, Rechte Buremesi, and
And now you understand three Afrikaans words.
Natuurlijk, ik is niet hier voor spekenboenen.
Ooh. And so,
nice. So the deal is that we've grown two great kids. My daughter's now married, and my son is in the U.S. Air Force. And then God led me into working at Leeuwenhoek, and that's not my home. So let me go back to who is Chuck Day at home. Well, I'm a guy that just. I love old movies. I love spending time with Keuring. I love making chocolate chip cookies. I love Christmas movies. You know, I'm a quintessential type B personality.
Okay. Type B personality. Yeah. Okay, so this love for the word, this love for the word itself, Because we can't assume just because you're in the ministry, just because you're a Christian, that you've got a love for the word.
Well, the deal was this. I was raised in a pastor's house. My dad was a pastor, and he was one of those pastors who'd gone to seminary, and he loved to talk about the original Greek and the original Hebrew. And I was just fascinated by this sort of Gnostic, knowledge that us mere mortals were unable to enter into. And so even before I ended high school, I knew I wanted to be able to read the Bible in its original languages. And so Greek and Hebrew. And so I went to Oral Roberts University, and I went to a Christian university and studied Greek and Hebrew. But I found that it just wasn't enough. So I went to Israel for a couple of years, and I learned to speak Hebrew. So even though I have a doctorate in Greek, my Hebrew is actually better than my Greek, because I can actually speak Hebrew. Greek is still mechanical. I just analyze that. But at the same time, it's just really helped me to just see a richness in this. And, in the meantime, you find that academia is actually not the way to God. It's a Tower of Babel that does not lead to the Holy Spirit.
The letter of the word.
Right.
Yes.
And so it leads to pride. Mm-hmm. And so I determined I needed this knowledge to have, because knowledge is flesh. That's why knowledge puffs up. Only flesh can only produce flesh. It can't produce spirit. And so to get to spirit, I need the knowledge to actually have some kind of practical value. And that's where I come up with these insights that I say, Lord, show me how to use this. Show me how meaning for me from this insight that I have. Otherwise, it's just interesting. And so I love spending time with the Word of God. I my morning devotions have my Hebrew Bible and my Greek Bible with me. And I just... I just went through a chapter of Isaiah this morning, and I just love underlining and using colored pens and, drawing.
You're one of those Bibles.
Oh, yeah.
I am a little jealous. Yeah, the most Christian way that can be said. No, there's a beauty to it, but life happens.
Right.
And this is the challenge, is when life happens, that that sits you before a word, the Bible, and it questions your faith. Why do you believe that this, out of all the religions out there, other people are in their religion, born in it, and they believe in it just as much as you do? Life challenges whether what you believe is true, and did it for you?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I was raised, as I say, in a pastor's house. I can say I had a relationship with God, but it was not a real before and after conversion experience like so many people would have. But the truth of relationship with God was born again and again in my life, but nowhere more so than in tragic circumstances after I was married and my wife and I lost our first baby. And in that, my life-changing experience with God's grace happened in a hospital room when I was already 36, in ministry, already hearing God's word, already preaching God's word, already praying for the sick, those kinds of things. But just to experience grace that was transformational, that goes beyond just hearing God's voice. And so my ability to tell you Jesus can change your life happened in that, and it was really something that really revolutionized my ministry, and yeah, I've just never looked back.
So now you're in church, and there's a whole all of these people in the pews before you. If you had to look at Christendom in South Africa, where we are today, do we love the Word of God?
Oh well, again, I think if I said no, people would be offended. But the truth is this: if reading the Bible is a spiritual discipline that is almost kind of like, yeah, I know I need to eat.
Got to do it. Yeah, the right thing to do.
Yeah, it's the right thing to do. It's not life to you. It's not manna to you. It's not something that you have a correlation between your spiritual growth and how that specific verse or that specific passage has impacted you. And so we have either got people who don't care about the Word of God, or people who take it as just a knowledge-based thing that you can argue about. And
We can have great arguments about it. Yeah.
And that's really a problem for me, because I don't want people to just think that intellect equal spirituality.
Yeah. And we were also talking about, even in ministry, actually, you don't need to read the Bible these days.
You can go to churches where you don't even need your Bible. They never actually refer to, but they refer to Jesus. They refer to God. They refer to love. They refer to faith.
Light.
Yeah, number of things. And they throw out references to things in the Bible, but they never actually take you to the Word of God. They never explain it. They never get into it, because the pastors themselves are not deeply committed to the Word of God as a life-giving exercise.
So how did that happen? How does it happen that someone who's chosen to be in ministry, is making his living, that's what his life is spent on, doesn't have a heart for Jesus, or doesn't, not Jesus, for the Word itself?
Well, partly it comes down to, you know the story of the guy that doesn't prepare for his sermon, and he just decides to wing it. And people come up to him afterwards and say, that was actually more anointed than the other time when you did prepare. And it's like, oh, okay. You start to learn these bad habits that I don't actually need to...
I'll just flow with the Spirit.
Right. Yeah, right. And so you start to just have the arrogance that I have enough in me, and I'm glib enough, I'm articulate enough, I can just go ahead and say whatever I want, and people are absorbing it. Partly also, it doesn't matter, because no one's really listening. No one can tell you what you preached the week before. In the old days, people came with notepads to church and they took notes. Mm-hmm. And now people mostly don't.
Yeah, some of our listeners still do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it also true that because a pastor is confronted with life in real people's lives, now they have these circumstances, and now you've prayed and you've given the scripture, and it doesn't it doesn't get better. And then if that keeps on happening, that a pastor at some stage, maybe the black and the white becomes gray.
I think you're right.
I'm wondering about that.
Yeah.
Where you had the heart, but you lost it because life keeps pounding you and your parishioners.
There was a word movement back in the 80s, which was coerced by some people into prosperity teaching and others into other things where they only spoke the word of God, and they you had the scripture police. That's a bad confession, you know. This,
exactly,
and that
yeah.
kind of thing. So that became a negative thing. But also, I have to say, the Holy Spirit confirmed. Yeah, you know, I saw the Holy Spirit answer prayers that were really selfish and materialistic.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and I think it was to encourage people to get into the Bible and to believe in faith what the word of God said, but. In a sense, the revival ended, and all of a sudden, people started using those same scriptures and not getting the same results. And there became sort of a disillusionment that, okay, everybody you pray for must get healed. And now...
The recipe doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Mm. Yeah, and so it's not that the Holy Spirit has changed his mind. It's not that the Bible's any different. But we didn't get deeper. We stayed superficial. We stayed very, very shallow. And God was leading us to go deeper. And because we didn't, he turned off the taps, I think. That's my opinion.
And haven't we lost the fear of the Lord as well? I'm just thinking, if he keeps asking us stuff that make us uncomfortable, that doesn't make us fit into the culture around us, if his opinion is costing us, yeah. Then he better be bigger than us, and we like being God.
Well, remember this. There was this sort of backlash against the fear of the Lord, which was about,
don't be scared of him.
Right. Yeah. And that God's going to get you. Especially in South Africa, I find a lot of Afrikaners had this sort of negative image of God with a hammer and just ready to just bring it down. And so for the last 20 plus years, there's been a grace movement where God is just too nice, too sweet to ever bring any judgment. And we are, we want to be more accepting. Everybody has a story where they were rejected by another church, that they have this brokenness from other churches, and they rejected me because of this. They, whether you had fallen into sin or your marriage had fallen apart or something like that, and everybody felt judged. So now we're in the no judgment zone.
Yes.
So in that, it's difficult to preach the fear of the Lord because we're still trying to help people feel accepted for who they are, that God loves you just the way you are. And so if you tell somebody who is living with their boyfriend, they have tattoos and, who knows what, and you say, hey, God loves you just the way you are, then the person who's not got tattoos and is not living with their boyfriend says, hey, maybe it's okay to get tattoos. And so we find this acceptance of the non-Christian wanting to welcome the outcast and everybody into our spiritual homes has led to the good kids losing their why should I stay pure if there's no judgment if I'm not?
And
so all the morals start to decay. And now, it used to be that we had to worry about the 20-somethings living together. Now we have the 50-somethings living together. And so there's people do not make moral decisions based on the word of God anymore.
Yeah, and normal in the world is not God's word.
Yeah.
Okay, how do we get the church back into the word? I mean, we're making all kinds of plans here on Radio Pulpit. We're doing reading plans together. We're doing whatever it takes. But it's hard. So, what's your plan?
Well, my plan is to be able to show people how much I get out of the word. And so this is why I do the deeper look and why I want to just get more because, Isaiah loves to use the word remnant. There's a remnant of people who really are tigers for the word of God and they really do want more. So it's not everyone, even though I can say the majority of Christians are not really. They say they want to know more of the word. It's like the person that says, I want to be fitter, but they don't want to actually go to the gym and actually do all these things. And so I want the knowledge, but I don't want to actually have to work for it and do whatever it takes to get it. And so with that, mostly, I guess I want to lead by example. And I want to tell people, this is the benefit that I personally am getting out of this. And sort of, I feel like indirectly that causes people to say, yeah, I would have that same if I did that too. Mm. So that at the very least that people should approach the Word of God with prayer and say, Holy Spirit, show me something today. And allow him to do it. And again, there's a difference between devotional Bible reading and Bible study.
Yeah.
I want people to want to actually go deeper into the Bible just because they want to know the Bible. I find most people do not know the difference between the prophets in the Old Testament. They just put them in a big box called judgment. And they don't know the difference between, you know, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah. And they're all just doom and gloom guys. And if you get to know them, they all have a personality. They all have their own unique vocabulary. They have their own genius, in a sense, and their own poetic, wonderfulness. And I love appreciating each Bible writer for their own merits, because there's beauty everywhere there. And actually, the Holy Spirit, there's New Testament revelation even in the Old Testament. That's the strange thing. And
if you look for it, you'll find it. Yeah.
And so there's just really amazing things. I cannot tell you how much I'm against people say, oh, that's Old Testament. As if there's a line that we draw and says, this is completely irrelevant to my life. This has no bearing whatsoever. Allow God to speak to you in any book of the Bible.
Well, the Bible is a revelation of God, God's heart, how he thinks, his normal, how he created everything. That's the ultimate truth. So if you had to choose one aspect of the Lord, we always say, as life hits you and with what you're reading at this moment, when you're worshiping, there's one part of his character at this moment that just impresses you, or what that you're noticing at this moment most of him. If you had to choose one, what would it be of who he is?
Well, I guess maybe this is not exactly the answer you're looking for. Presence. Mm. I'm looking for God's presence. And I have I've got a rubber band on my wrist to remind me of a revelation God gave me the other day from Deuteronomy 11, verse 21, which talks about that, you know, you need to put the law on your doorposts and so on, and that's going to benefit your children and your children's children and so on. And then it will be as the days of heaven on earth. Now, the King James says it that way, which is what the Hebrew says, days of heaven on earth. Modern translations change that to as long as the heavens are over the earth. But I like this idea of just praying heaven on earth. And so I put this rubber band on to remind me that when I walk into a building, when I walk into a room, when I walk into, even today I did this, you know, I just proclaim heaven over this place. And that you can get there through other scriptures and so on, I suppose, but just, this is my own walk right now. And I just see heaven and earth smushed together. And that heaven invades our circumstances and the life of the world to come in this world. And so I'm just seeing results with it. And, you know, I'm sort of test driving this thing, but, you know, just that's the aspect of God that I want his presence, which I guess means life. It's a life-giving thing.
Mm, God Emmanuel, yeah. God with us. And his will be done as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. Okay, if people want to connect with you, because you do the deep looks and it's videos and everything, how do they find you?
Well, I have a YouTube channel as well.
What do they look for then?
They can type in Deeper Look, or they can type in Dr. Chuck Day, I suppose, and things will come up. But then I have a Bible study that I do once a month at Leeuwenvoort called the Deeper Look, which it take 2 hours to talk about passages and so on.
Do people tune into that, or do they have to be at Leeuwenvoort?
No, they have to be there. This is not online.
Ask Andrew to put it online for you. My goodness, people are
watch
all
that
over the
space,
country.
Okay, I have so much that I need to get out there. And so we're talking, not that he's not a busy guy, but we are doing some things about that.
Andrew, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Okay, gadol, aloha. That's Joshua Aaron for you. Thank you for your time. We truly appreciate it.
Well, my pleasure. My pleasure.